meeting of Parliament, Monday the 26th of June, 2022. Order of proceedings. Answers to oral questions continued. Question number 520 of 2023. The Honourable E.J. Phillips. The market restrictions on the display access to and marketing tobacco products and the government status policy on the display and vaping products in shops, pharmacies, and vending machines. Answer. The Honourable the Minister for Justice, Equality, Public and Public Standards and Regulations.
The government has made to the concerns that exist regarding the use and sale of vapes, particularly in relation to their consumption by children. As a result, in December 2022, I presented to this House legislation that makes it unlawful to sell to children and make it a legal requirement for traders of electronic cigarettes to prominently display a notice stating that it is illegal to sell a vaping product to or to procure a vaping product for anyone under the age of 18. It is now an offence to sell or procure vaping products to persons under 18, and police officers have powers to confiscate in the same way as this law restricts the sale of tobacco and alcohol to under 18. Additionally, so important is this that the office of fair trading includes checking compliance as part of their regular site visits.
Next question. Question number 521 of 2023. The Honourable D.A. Newton. Mr. Speaker, how many members of the Royal Gibraltar Police Force are resident in Spain? Answer. The Honourable the Minister for Justice, Equality and Public Standards and Regulations.
I'm advised by the Royal Gibraltar Police not to make this information public for operational and security reasons, and will nevertheless inform the Honourable Gentleman in confidence behind this decision.
Mr. Speaker, is the Minister aware whether there has been a downturn in the number of Gibraltar residents, Gibraltar belongings, wishing to it has not made inquiries, and this is the first time that she hears any such suggestion, or is it because she has made inquiries and the answer is no, that there is no downturn in demand for people within Gibraltar wanting to become police officers?
Mr. Speaker, the no is as to the fact that I'm not aware that there has been a downturn in the number of police officers.
And is he aware of whether there are vacancies in the Royal Gibraltar Police that have not been taken up? Is he aware of that?
Mr. Speaker, I am aware that there are currently vacancies for which they are being recruited. There was a very recent recruitment drive, and as soon as that process is complete, the training process will commence. So I'm aware that there are vacancies, and these vacancies are already in the process of being filled.
Does the Minister know how many vacancies there are, if you have that figure? And just so that I understand her, what she's essentially saying is that there are no unfilled vacancies, or rather, that the vacancies there are, that there are are in the process of being filled, and there are no unfilled vacancies as a lay person would understand it.
So, speaker, there are vacancies and they are unfilled, however, they are being recruited. I hope to be able to get to an understanding of that. Because the way that Orange wanted police to recruit is that it must recruit in batches, given the way that police officers are trained. So, insofar as vacancies that arise, then they are all being recruited for.
But regarding the historical vacancies that were not filled in the past, and now there is a new process to try and fill them, or is this a part of the normal process of vacancies arising and those vacancies being filled up without necessarily meaning that there are vacancies, historic vacancies, which have not been filled?
There are no, to my understanding, any historic vacancies in the Orange Vault Police. There are vacancies and recruitment is undertaken periodically, usually twice a year, because of the way that they need to train. It's not like any other position where you recruit and you engage people on a one-to-one basis. Every time a vacancy arises, there is a capacity for the training school that Logi can provide, and therefore recruitment is undertaken in batches. But there's no issue of historic vacancies, Mr. Speaker. These are all live vacancies, and there already is, as I understand it, Mr. Speaker, there has already been a wave of recruitment this year because there was a passing out parade not that long ago.
The older lady hasn't come back on the number of vacancies, if she has that figure, I think that she was going to be responding to that.
This is the not a figure that I have to hand.
This is question number 522 of 2023. Honourable Joe Keaton. Mr. Speaker, how many arrests have been made since January 2023 for the importation or supply of drugs? Answer, the Honourable Minister for Justice, Equality and Public Standards and Regulations.
Mr. Speaker, I will answer this question together with question 523.
Question number 523 of 2023. The Honourable D.A. Keaton. Mr. Speaker, how many convictions have there been since January 2023 relating to the importation of supply of drugs?
Answer, the Honourable Minister for Justice, Equality and Public Standards and Regulations.
Mr. Speaker, since January 2023, I am informed by the Royal Police that 19 people have been arrested for the offence of importation or supply of controlled drugs. 5 have been convicted.
Mr. Speaker, does he have a breakdown between importation and supply in relation to question 520?
I think I have the information, but it's not presented to me in that way in the supplementary. I will, however, calculate it and give it to the Honourable Gentleman before the final second.
If you can do the same in relation to 2523, I'd appreciate it.
Next question. Question number 534 of 2023. The Honourable E.J. Phillips.
If you can look at the basic answers to the number of registered vehicles in Gibraltar and that number, how many are hybrid and electric?
Answer, the Honourable the Minister for Transport.
The Speaker, there are 49,230 registered vehicles in Gibraltar. Of those, 1,805 are hybrid and 250 are electric. Mr. Speaker, insofar as the government's target to decrease the number of petrol and diesel-powered vehicles, can the government give an assessment as to how that's going insofar as the taking of hybrid and electric vehicles?
The government is providing and basically more than you said. I mean, 1,005 vehicles on our road are hybrid and 250 are electric, and these vehicles do receive some benefits if you choose to buy them, you know, with you. Then there'll be the total amount of vehicles that you can devote into commercial vehicles and everything you do in devoted to the avenues that you provided. There's a bit more, I can say, that we speak. Question number 535 of 2023. The Honourable E.J. Phillips. Can the government confirm whether it be rolling out a new Red Bank initiative? Answer. The Honourable the Minister for Transport. The present government is not actively considering the rollout of a government set by the rental scheme.
This government, particularly this transport minister, views on cycling and tourism are well known to the public at large. I was just wondering whether there are any public-private partnerships that are being considered insofar as the rollout of initiatives like this.
The people know at the moment there's no initiative that we looked at, which involves the sharing of data, as you mentioned, my views on charges. One of the Western events, we have tried to test it between us, which is the scheme from Gibraltar, one was a Gibraltar scheme, one was a Gibraltar scheme, and tested it. And I think the thing that we are not ready for such schemes because we don't have the infrastructure to provide safe passage for people who want to use it like in our capacity. Those people that are that the state government would know that by their own, that it's for us at this point in time to consider and government consider rolling out the thing that it would be to mature in that respect.
Doesn't the minister think that that approach might be slightly inconsistent with his passion and certainly the drive that he has in putting a generation of our people onto our bicycles? Because clearly the infrastructure is changing. He's rolling out cycle lanes across the Gibraltar, and that is through across social media, the mainstream media. And is there any serious consideration given to a facility that can be used by tourists and indeed people who like to use bicycles? Because clearly you're driving one policy, and they will need to have, you will need to have that form of resource to enable people to use it.
When we're actually involved, eventually when we have that infrastructure which will allow for the team to grow roots, absolutely, I think it goes hand in hand with every city, you know, that's worth, you know, anything in terms of its transport structure, includes bicycle rental schemes. I think it's the way forward. But at the end of the respect to work, one of these schemes very quickly become outdated. If we're not ready, truly ready, to provide the option, I don't think we are going to roll. We have to add in terms of whether infrastructure at the moment is just rolled out, a very small section of infrastructure. Once you cycle out of the road, we're in there with the driving team, there's no space passage in that respect. So to actually even believe or think that we'll be able to encourage people to use this sort of stress team at the moment, I think this is the wrong perspective. I think it would be nonsensical and a waste of time. But the moment that I feel, or that it is, that we have enough infrastructure to drive through, absolutely, I think it's something which the voters should have, and it's something that I would actively recommend that that has.
Just to pick up on one answer to those questions, and that is, he currently believes that any initiative will not secure safe passage around Gibraltar, insofar as this particular individual. Could you explain that in a bit more detail? Because currently, there are many people on bicycles coming in from Spain at bicycles, and we're trying to encourage people to take up cycling as a different mode of transportation for green reasons.
he's about the passage. Can you elaborate on that particular point?
Yes, yesterday we had no perspective. Today we have some perspective. It's a great one. You know, there's many rooms to go to the small place, and we have only made space based on those and the approach to the center. That's all we have. That's where children, parents, you know, first comes with us and fight in the space to completely accelerate the pathway without coming across a car. That makes fighting safe, and that makes the uptake more appealing and more attractive to people who potentially want to take up bicycles or cycling as a way to commute and get to work. So until, that is my reference to each other. The moment you roll that certain road between the same with cyclists, the moment you arrive at places to Park Plaza, you're on the road with the traffic. So no parent, I believe, who has preferred to allow them to cycle on our road will allow a child to cycle still at the moment. But as we roll out that intersection, which is being rolled out as we speak, they will come upon very soon where by children living in certain states will be able to travel to school in a totally segregated fashion, which would hopefully give confidence to themselves and their parents to allow this to go.
I'm going to ask you if you want to answer one further question. So the government's intention, just to get this clear, once we actually stop the travel session, we've completely implemented the fast cycle lanes to introduce a publicly funded bicycle facility.
Mr. Speaker, no. First of all, it's been taken. I mean, there may be potential. We don't need to have a full network that the whole of the world will have. The whole cycle space is going to be in effect. That's the way it is. Government, by the way, is not considering. And we're not consider at this moment in time, based on its research and what's going on, to be able to have that sort of scheme at any moment. If someone were to come with this opportunity as a commercial opportunity, I would say that we are willing to invest and we're willing to think the time is right, then government will consider that, because I think it's under the kind of that has that effect, it has because now having to set up a publicly funded scheme. When the time is not right now, I think it wouldn't be sensible.
Next question. Question number 536 of 2023. The Honourable E.J. Phillips. The Canada government states how many bicycles have been imported into Gibraltar over the last 2 years. Answer the Honourable Minister for Transport. Mr. Speaker, 4,816 bicycles have been brought into the Gibraltar over the last 2 years. The Honourable Member may wish to note that this figure has been provided by Gates and Customs and is specifically indicative of commercial imports by local suppliers.
And just to be clear, it is not suggested that there are 4,816 bicycles on our streets.
Note that there are 4,000, I think a lot more than that. There's more than 4,716 bicycles in our jurisdiction, whether they're on the street or not. I would hope that people buy bicycles and go on the street, and people decide to buy bicycles as a decoration. I don't know that, I expect that as well. But I can't say they're all on the street. And remember, this is for people from buying their own bikes and putting it themselves. So this figure is just a all importations.
Question number 537 of 2023. The Honourable E.J. Phillips. Mr. Speaker, can the government state how it is monitoring cycle lane use? Answer, the Honourable Minister for Transport.
Mr. Speaker, a new automated bicycle and press counter has been installed at the newly opened cycle at the Federal President of Children. This counter captures all cycle and press traffic in both directions using this new road infrastructure. The time spent reading at 10:15 a.m. on Saturday, 10th of June, stood at 12,721, being exactly 1 week from the date the cycle lane council was commissioned.
Question number 538. Does the council only pick up bicycles, or does it also pick up other motor transport, for example, scooters?
which is a threat of safety for our answer question, as effectively asking this question is we've been trying to about. I don't know, perhaps that at the count of 3 we're close to those 39,500, so we're close to that rate, we've got over 40,000 kids on that bicycle loan already, so we in a few weeks. So that's a few weeks, we just tracked 40,000 in a few weeks, and that includes bicycles and e-scooters, so we include both. So we can, I'm sure we can actually do something, but we should have said that we can't say, it doesn't pick up directions, it doesn't pick up directions with suitcases, it doesn't pick up drug addicts and being there. I'm a bit of a sticker, I can't sit at home. I mean, I have been there and tried it myself, and if I put my foot in it and say something which is not right, I'll never find out myself. So I've had the privilege of witnessing a runner, a road runner, running on one of the tracks. I was keenly waiting to see what it takes to do. I'm not saying that maybe, I don't know if it's fancy, I don't know how we think it's a road runner. But they don't pick up jogging, as far as I see. It does not pick up pedestrians where they're walking on the pavement or where they're walking on the bike. In fact, the counter that I need to be a bit more specific. The system will do, but it won't be displayed on the monster. The monster will pick up many things, but the counter, when the counter will display just inputs and passes.
Just one further question on that. I think it links actually quite nicely to the previous question where we discussed safety. There's clearly a volume of traffic coming into Gibraltar on bicycles, over 10,000 a week. And one of the concerns that the Minister raised in relation to the previous question is about safety and infrastructure and having a proper infrastructure or better infrastructure to allow for our children to safely use bicycles. Is the Minister concerned generally about the volume of bicycles coming across the border and the lack of infrastructure and the issues with safety generally, and what is he doing in order to assist and give more comfort to people and encourage people to cycle in that context?
Mr. Speaker, I'm not concerned about the volume of bicycles and scooters coming to the frontier or certain individual. I'm very concerned about the number of vehicles. Vehicles make the road unsafe, not the bicycles. So my concern is from those vehicles that can cause the most damage. So, as I say, so I'm not concerned in that respect. Remember, we cannot roll out infrastructure all at once. I wish we could, because we could have, you know, bicycles going from the sky. I would love that, because then it would be, I think we have patience, and I think that's something we have to realize. We have only done one small section of the road, a very, very small part. And really, a bicycle in its own right is nothing, okay? It's not even a network, it's not really. What we have to provide is a network, a rent-up drainage. So, at the moment, in principle, it is possible for someone living at different places to cycle in a coordinated fashion without thinking it's in a car on the way to sports stadiums, to tourist stadiums, to 17 year olds, to passenger sports, and go back home in a totally safe manner. That's the first step. I think that's a very important step. So, I think the infrastructure further would be possible for someone to live in the beach. Someone who lives, for example, in Portland House, or someone who lives in Trade Rooms, or eventually someone who lives in Water Gardens, via boat, etc., etc. So, all the time, we see the extent of the network increase, which will give people more options, and then it becomes truly meaningful at the moment. It is the same step in the direction, but it's time, obviously. So, it's a question of just being patient. I'm the most impatient person you can imagine. We'd rather, I can't wait to see the next phase and the next phase.
Mr. Speaker, I just asked this. I think the honourable member has spoken about the placement of one counter. I think that's right. And in the context of the rollout of the cycle lanes that have been laid out and so on. Can I just ask him, is he considering the placement of these cycle counters in other parts of Gibraltar that may not have cycle lanes laid out in terms of perhaps assisting the planning of the layout of this infrastructure so that you realise what kind of volume there are in different parts of Gibraltar? Or is it that you can only place these counters if there's already a cycle lane in operation? Is it
Does it require it in your establishment, or is it something like generically could be placed by the side of a road and you only pick up the standards?
The engineering and traffic engineering, there are such cultures which can be put up on Amazon. Something was set up because of the tunnels and gauge to see how many cars and bicycles and pedestrians came through the front of the ambulance with the runway every day before the tunnel was open. They do exist, but not in the type of council we have. Where to get northern, where bicycles come in one after the other. For example, the road that we actually work cycling to, work by one thing that the government wasn't, it was just a normal cycle. Most of the tip were captured because the bicycles came in a crowd. So the moment of one massive vehicle by thing, and the council failed to collect the 250 or 180 surrounding. So if you put one covers up on a road where you have cars in both directions, bicycles that you come together, traffic, it's important to give you very, very accurate data. There are things that we can do in terms of traffic modeling. In fact, those little boxes, those black boxes that you see around the road, you normally set those up in different areas and you're looking at, say, options that have roundabouts or options that whether you want to maybe consider, you know, making the road one way or changing it for a second. You need to kind of to go slow in different areas. But these are specifically what's best in a place where, you know, bikers come in one after the other.
Next question.
Question number 538 of 2023. The Honourable E.J. Phillips.
The Defender Government states the total cost to date of the design, construction, painting, marketing and commissioning of the new cycle path from the Sundale roundabout to the Worsport roundabout.
Answer, the Honourable Minister for Transport. The Speaker, the Ministry has to date spent an approximate figure of £14,000 in conservancy design fees from January 2022 up until the end of May 2023 on the first and second phases, which includes Baker Road and Gatton Road. The cost also covers a complete independent safety audit of these phases. The majority of the design work, preparation of documentation, marketing, etc., has been carried out by the Ministry of Technical Office in-house to reduce expenditure. The projector has not yet provided the final invoice to the government for the work done on site loans, which are known as applicable for both sides of the house.
Is the Minister able to give a ballpark figure? I assume that there, once this plan was rolled out, that they must have known at some point roughly how much this stretch would have cost the taxpayer. Is he able to help me with that? I'm not going to help him to it, but it's helpful to have a rough amount.
I think it's not possible to have a figure because, as we start building the structure, there are very different costs. So we have to have an address as to what your advice would be possible. Given costs would include things that you find underneath the ground when you start to get up, cabling, ducting, etc. And these things sometimes can cause differences in cost either way. Sometimes we think it's just that which when there aren't, or sometimes you touch the surface and you realize that you can't proceed unless you move some of it. It's possible to give anything that could guide you.
So, just to be clear, the Honourable Minister for Transport is to provide the community with a rough average of how much it's cost so far to construct this set of cycle lanes. So, the government is responsible for spending the people's money wisely and good plan for the cost of a particular stretch. Is he truly unhelpful in that regard?
No, Mr. Speaker. The Minister can ask for an invoice amount for the amount that we have paid, not for what the estimate might be. The Minister obviously didn't have here the estimate that we were working against. We wouldn't start the project because we are careful with the people's money without having an estimate against which we would work. That's not the question the Honourable Gentleman asked. The President seems to realise that he's asking for a figure of money paid, and that has changed to ask the Minister what was the estimate provided for the work, which is one figure that I know the Minister has.
Thank you, Mr.
Speaker. Can we get advise out
where in the improvement development fund estimates you expect the expenditure to fall, and you also start on the take expenditure for projects which you will have an estimate. Mr. Speaker, the debate on the estimates will be on the 10th of July. We can debate all of those issues then and identify which part of the expenditure which relates to this project and many other projects which the minister is bringing on, which will form the part of his contribution to the House, and I will be making some reference to him too. So, Mr. Speaker, with respect to the Chief Minister, I don't think this needs wait for the budget debate, which is about the appropriation bill for next year. I'm asking the Minister this year where all this expenditure budget is. Surely you must know. Does it not know? This year. Mr. Speaker, I don't think you're able to understand that the year we are in, that is to say this year, is the financial year, the estimate of which we will be debating on the 10th of July. And therefore, in applying an undertaking not to disclose any information about cuts of book, in applying an undertaking not to disclose any figures about that, Mr. Speaker, that debate for this year, as he has said this year means the current year, is the debate to start on the 10th of July. I don't understand how you can put it wrong, Mr. Speaker. I'm referring to last year's estimates, folks. Where this year ends, and this year ends it. That's what we clarify that for your purposes. I would like to talk to Mr. Stern where the money was spent for that purposes of the last estimate, folks. Notably, because that is the opposite of what he has said. What he has said is that we will identify the expenditure in the budget debate which starts on the 10th of July. I'm sure the government will know, or at least should know, that this expenditure that has come across two financial years. But what he wants to do is to have the debate on the estimates put to in question time, then I'm afraid the government is going to use it on the outside of the room. Mr. Speaker, I think she's going to stretch on a point here. I simply asked the minister where in last year's estimate, but last year, it, as the chief minister just said, has admitted. And cost financial year, to which case some of their expenditures would have been in last year's textbook. Where, in last year's textbook, in the room, we're going to put the government minister expect this expenditure to fall. Quote, Speaker, but first of all, I don't think the question arises from the question. First of all, actually arises from the question. Second, I'm very grateful that the government has clarified this question. That is to say, Mr. Speaker, in GSP speak, he has changed it from to last year. The answer to the question is very simple, under the SPC line. Mr.
Montgomery, the final
one. That's fine. Mr. Speaker, the question asked about cost. The Honourable Member, Minister, has indicated that the cost hasn't been invoiced, and the Chief Minister indicated, in answer to my Honourable colleague, Mr. Phillips, that being careful with the people's money, they would have done an estimate. Can you tell us what that estimate of cost was? Mr. Speaker, I've heard the Honourable Gentleman give a specific answer I gave to that a few moments ago. Question number 539 of 2023. The Honourable Interim Speaker. Please state when the escalator of the upper town will be repaired. Answer, the Honourable the Minister for Transport. Mr. Speaker, I'm informed by a management agent known as the Delta Party Management Services Limited that the technical advice is that there are several issues that must be resolved before this escalator may be recommissioned. As we have stated in the past, there are a number of issues that result in these long-term breakages. Our managing agents have advised that and have provided proposals which include long-term solutions, which the government has presently considered, and we hope to be in a better position to provide the community with an update within the next few weeks. If you're able to state to what those are the put of several issues are, Mr. Speaker, there are issues with vandalism of the escalator. There are issues with misuse of the emergency stop button, which forced the escalator to stop and have them to be with them all the time. There are also issues with foreign needs in this place that was effectively working in mechanism. So there's a multiple field of the different issues. So for us to be able to put on another issue as well, in the Golden Journey, the rain is very dry, the rain is rain, but when it does rain, and very hard. So those are issues that are compounded with all the issues we've had in this place, and these are the ones that now are being looked at to be able to find a solution that actually works. He's saying that he'll be able to make an announcement in a couple of weeks. Would that announcement include as to when the works are likely to be completed so we have it properly running after this once and for all?
Mr. Speaker, with the whole purpose of doing this is to try to fix this program. And so, as soon as we are already in a position to know exactly what needs to be done to make sure that this is going to work as quickly as possible, and the next step will be to implement the work as quickly as possible to try to fix the problem.
And may I ask Mr. Speaker whether he has an estimate, dare I say, of the cost of these works at this stage? And secondly, is he able to state that you have an idea as to when he thinks that those works are likely to be completed?
Mr. Speaker, it's important to say this in the text because we're still looking at the different issues that make up, you know, the full picture that we can provide and explain that works. Totally, so we're going to address the misuse of the bathroom, we're going to address the vandalism, we're going to address, you know, the water, we're going to address the leaves. And so we have all the mechanisms in place and know exactly what has to be done. To be able to fix these things and address these things, then I won't have an estimate of those costs. And as to when, I mean, as immediately.
Very well, that was a
following on. How long this escalator has actually been broken in order to understand that these things mainly that he talks about, abandoning the misuse of emergency stuff, button and falling leaves. So they don't happen together because, from what I understand, the escalators have been broken for years. So at what point did these issues all conflate to have this this escalator broken for so long and deal with that these were the reasons for it?
I can't agree that this building is building for years, although it may seem that way. The thing has been put to work constantly. The thing that is not is that they have, you know, been set a lot of time, they've been put back to work, they've lasted for a while, and it's been set to them. There's also another issue which we have, which I've also shown the other side, is the noise. And these experiences make a very little noise, but at 3 o'clock in the morning, apparently it wasn't a noise that people wanted to hear, and it also led to some of the issues as to why the station stopped working. So that is really the high kind of thing that they have, and people that they have found that the station has not been working for a long time. Every time it's calling the maintenance team or you start the station, that can take hours and take days and etc. One disaster after another, as far as this project is concerned, and in the light of that, may I ask him whether it is the policy of his government to still committed to this particular project?
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
Next question.
Question number 540 of 2023. The Honourable the Leader of the Opposition. Mr. Speaker, would government be willing to consider introducing a scheme which would give priority of parking in certain areas to persons over 70? Answer, the Honourable Minister of Transport.
Mr. Speaker, there are challenges that have been raised at the moment in time to allow for priority parking in certain areas to persons over 70. Most of them will be announced in due course. The Honourable Member should note, however, that there are already concessions in place in Midtown car park by way of 3 hours free parking to existing to the train ID card holders. They will pay 50% discount to all to the train ID card holders over the age of 65. As for the residential parking scheme being granted for Mr. Speaker, persons over 60 years of age may purchase their first tenant at a 50% discount. Upon consulting with my team of relevant officials, I am informed that we have not to witness the request speaking concerning of this nature.
That last remark can gather by because in your first opening remark you did say that the plans are under consideration. So can I ask, in terms of the rollout of that, what kind of time scale should we be expecting? Is there sort of a plan devised for the rollout of this?
It's still we're hoping to be able to do it without it during the year.
The Honourable Chief Minister. Mr. Speaker, I move the House is now adjourned to Monday the 3rd of July at 3 p.m.
I now propose the question, which is that this House is now adjourned to Monday the 3rd of July at 3 p.m. And I'll put the question, which is that this House is now adjourned to Monday the 3rd of July at 3 p.m. Those in favour, if the case passed. This House is now adjourned to Monday the 3rd of July at 3 p.m.